Hey, my dear friends, it is June the 4th. Listen, 2010. It's a Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want you to listen to these words. And I'm quoting now, quote, former homosexual says, quote, no one is born gay, unquote. Listen, a 11-year gay man has come out, and as with other thousands upon thousands, but he has come out not only to say that he once was gay 11 years into the whole scene, but his words are, quote, no one is born gay. This is Stephen Bennett. And we're going to put up on our website, shatterthedarkness.net, a link to his site that will give you story after story after story after story of those who were gays and lesbians. They were deeply into the practice for many, many years. And they have come out. They have broken away. Many of them on that site will tell you clearly that Jesus Christ set them free, that they have now married the opposite sex. They have children, and they're moving on. So if you get a chance later on tonight, take a look at the website, shatterthedarkness.net, and take a look at William Bennett's website. And I'm absolutely sure that William's gone through the process of, well, listen, as I have seen over the years, gays and lesbians leave the lifestyle, come to Christ, and turn away and live years and years and years away from everything. I've also watched that when they have got up to share their freedom in Christ, that they have been literally shredded apart, torn apart. Let me say to the gay activists that may listen, and I would say by the providence of God, as you would listen, though you choose to stay in your world, though you choose to justify that world, though you do everything to change everything to relieve the conscience of that gnawing issue of guilt, I also have seen gay activists absolutely refuse anybody getting out. It's almost like Hotel California, that once in, you cannot get out. They will say, well, you've been genetically created this way. You're born homosexual and you cannot get out. Now, we know that, and again, I mentioned the book. It's called Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth. Homosexuality and the Power Politics of Truth, a great book that deals with the science. It deals with the psychology behind what lobbyists are trying to change. Why do I bring this message? Why do I engage in four of these sessions this week, titled for the topic of the week, Homosexuality, the Military, and What Are You Fighting For? Tonight deals with homosexuality. Is there a way out, free and clear, or do activists refuse salvation? And I'm going to say right now, across the board, anybody can refuse salvation, God's gift of love, power, change, eternal life. You can read about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So I want to let you know, whether it's a gay or a lesbian, it could be an atheist, an agnostic, a Satanist, you know, it could be any human being that is engaged by God to come home. So tonight, as we grapple again with this issue, it's not about just yelling and screaming and saying somebody is wrong. It's not about calling names and so forth. Though I will say that gay activists who use in their agenda to literally vilify anybody that tries to say that they are wrong or that it's abnormal, that they would call that hate speech, and they consider anybody that does not agree with them haters. But I have seen the opposite. I've seen the opposite in ministry directly to gays and lesbians. I've seen the opposite at gay lesbian task force meetings. I've seen the venom. I've seen the hate. I've seen the violence. I've seen the plotting. I've seen the words. I've seen individuals on the web just literally shredding others. It's as if gay activists do not want to allow one gay out of the fold. But yet thousands and thousands, and that's, my dear friends, is the unknown secret, that thousands and thousands and thousands of individuals who were once gay lived in the lifestyle, some that were very highly activists, that have come to Christ, have found the power of God, and have come out. Why do we share this? Because there are thousands and thousands more. There are those that want to hear. There are those that need to hear. That no matter what addiction anybody is in, no matter what place in life anybody is in, the truth of the matter is, God can come, the Spirit of God can draw, the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver, anybody can be set free and find the power and the love and the forgiveness and the cleansing and the new life, well, that's that Stephen Bennett has found in Christ. Looking at the website of, it's called SBM Worldwide, Stephen Bennett Ministries Worldwide. I'm looking at the website right now. He's written a tract, a gospel tract called, with his picture on it, and it's called I Was Gay. If you look on the website, you'll see immediately numerous resources. And I clicked on what is called the bookstore or ministry resource center. And when you do, something will come up like stories, MP3s, testimonies of people who were once gay, once homosexual, and they left. I'm looking at Stephen Bennett's testimony. You can listen to that. I am looking at, Stephen Bennett and others have put up as the seven myths about homosexuality. We also have a medical Dr. John Diggs, MD, and Stephen Bennett putting up a MP3, a CD. Looks like it says these words: the medical truths and dangers of homosexuality. Then it goes on to talk about a former lesbian and her testimony. Another one is a former college student and their former testimonies. Married individuals now, Susan Smith and her testimony when she was once a lesbian. So again and again and again, what needs to be heard around the world, what Congress needs to hear, what politicians need to hear, what psychologists need to hear. See, there's been such a battle over the issue and a lobbying, and I want to say literally a real hate speech from the side of the homosexual activists, real hate speech, when they vulgarly cuss out, yell, scream, blaspheme God, come against the church, do everything. It's as if nobody else is allowed to have another opinion. It's not about even somebody being able to have it, let alone speak it. The ultimate agenda is you're not permitted to have the opinion, and you're not allowed to speak it. You're not allowed to write it. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to raise your hand in a college classroom and say, well, I believe homosexuality is biologically, physiologically wrong, that it doesn't work, that it doesn't function, that the parts don't fit, that there is abnormality to the physiological, biological side of all this. Well, we're going to get into this tonight. The reason is, because of the agenda just lately of gay activists, lobbyists, and activists that are pressuring politicians to literally, you know, just simply vote and tell the military that you will not only drop the policy, don't ask, don't tell, but you're now going to be forced to allow gays and lesbians to come out and declare themselves. Literally, I'm telling you right now, it's going to end up being the idea of special privileges. Let's ask a question tonight. Men that are in their barracks, going to go take a shower in the corporate showers. They're going to go in there, undress, be naked. And do these men want a gay man who has lust for the physical body of another man? Do they want to allow him to come in there and watch or see them? How is that any different than a woman undressing and going to go into the showers and having a man come in there and view her and watch? Now, this is very important and needs to be discussed. That includes bathrooms. That, literally. Because, again, I've counseled for over 30-some years. I've engaged individuals that have sought help from every kind of background, including those who are gays, those who are lesbians. We've seen the struggle. We've prayed with people. We've seen, in a couple of cases, demonization that kept the addiction. But we've also seen the absolute freedom turning around, walking away from the gay lesbian lifestyle and literally living as, if they want to call it straight, a man then marrying a woman, having children, and never, ever, ever going back. That could be true for those who are adulterers, anybody in any kind of addictions. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the cross, the power of his name, the power of his blood, the power of what he's done, the power of his love and compassion can change anyone. So tonight, as we get into this final title for the topic of the week, and I want you to know that we're going to list tonight, right after the show, the website of Stephen Bennett. You can do a search and find it, Stephen Bennett Ministries, and you can find there, which will be connected to many others, the thing that most, you know, gay activists would not want you to know, that not only have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of gays left and have become straight and have turned to Christ and have married the opposite sex and have children. I mean, listen, you may be listening tonight and you were a former homosexual and now you are, quote, straight, and now you are walking with God. Let's clearly acknowledge the fact that the blood of Christ, the power of forgiveness in the cross, is for the totality of sin, no matter what it is. All sexual sin. Jesus Christ died for the sum total. And Romans 6 says, where sin does abound, grace much more. Listen, the cross is bigger than all the sin. The collective sin of the world. What happened at the cross is the amazing work of God in Christ conquering the collective depth sin of the sum total of all the world. Jesus Christ, now listen, is the halosmos. That's the Greek word. You can go to 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about that Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the expiation, the atoning sacrifice, the Greek word halosmos, for our sins. Then it goes on to say, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Please understand, John the Baptist cried it out by the power of the Spirit of God, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Psychology can't take it away. Philosophizing can't take it away. Drugs can't take it away. None of that can take away the guilt. None of that can take away the addiction and the addictive desire and the sin nature's work or the enemy's, you know, captivity in this area. There is one that loves you, one that will set you free, one that has been sent by God not to condemn you, but to literally save you. So the good news is God so loved the world. It's a reference to the world of sinners like me, like you. The totality, and I believe that all Christians should understand what God says. God would rather show mercy instead of judgment. As a matter of fact, James chapter 5 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So for those out there that think, well, all the sinners need to be judged very quickly here. Well, judgment is in the hands of God, not in the hands of a believer in Christ. Judgment is in the hands of God, not us. And God says in Ezekiel, he'd rather the wicked turn and not die and lose his soul. We read in James chapter 5 that mercy, the mercy of God, triumphs. It dances over the issue of judgment. God's not willing that any perish. So by God's Spirit, by God's providence, if you get a hold of this live tonight or on the archives later on, know one thing. The Spirit of God motivating me to share with you, and knowing the providence of God, that this will probably get to those who are trapped in the gay lesbian lifestyle. Some that would declare they chose it, they want it, they're flaunting it. I mean, once again, all you have to do is look at the gay parades in some of the cities around on Gay Pride Day. Look at the flag. Look what's being said. Look what's being done. We've already dealt with Monday night the issue that, no, biologically, physiologically, it is absolutely a fact that it is abnormal, that it is not the normal thing. And in the area of procreation, it is not the normal thing. You cannot procreate woman to woman, man to man. So biologically, physiologically, and in the area of procreation, it's a complete dysfunction. In the conscience, it seems clear that in all of history and up to this date, there's something in the conscience that says, no, this is abnormal. No, this is not the right use, though there is sexual addiction. That's true with the adulterer. That's true with the person in necrophilia. That's true with many people in many kinds of sexual addictive scenarios. They are driven. They're addicted. They feel the guilt, they feel the remorse, they feel they don't want to do it, they feel dirty. And many that will counsel, gay activists that will counsel other homosexuals, blaming it on religion, blaming it on society, blaming it on anybody that has simply the opinion that you're not, you know, that it's abnormal. I want to say to all those listening tonight that in America, that in your nation, it should be an absolute free right to be able to say, nope, I don't believe in homosexuality. Nope, I don't believe it's that it's a normal thing. Nope, I don't want it taught to my children as a 5th and 6th and 7th grader. No, I don't want the military forced to take this in and bring conflict and bring difficulty. No, I don't want gay, lesbian, homosexual activists lobbying among politicians to include homosexuality in hate crimes speech, in the sense that, listen, it seems as though gays and lesbians can speak vulgarly about Christ, vulgarly about religion, vulgarly about anybody that does not agree with them, but they want the rights, special rights, of nobody being allowed to say, no, you are wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. It is abnormal, biologically, physiologically, procreation-wise, biblically, historically. Listen, look at it across the board. It's being done, yes. So is adultery. So is necrophilia. So is bestiality. So is many other things, pedophilia. And as I've said the first night, that even those that promote sex between adults and 7, 8, 9-year-olds, NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. By the way, one of the promoters of sex with children was on the false memory syndrome, that agency. They were there with Dr. Orne, Dr. West, until they got found out. And then they were asked to resign and leave. We got to realize that we are in a sexually addictive world. We've got to realize that biblical prophecy has declared that in the end of days, sexual addiction, defiant sexual addiction, will be a part of solidifying individuals' choices to serve Antichrist in the new system, and to defy God and to defy Christ. You'll read in the book of Revelation, when it gives a listing of the practices of those who literally stand opposed to God, opposed to Christ, eventually will stand in military gear to fight the descent of Christ, Revelation 19:19, that it involves not just sorceries and magic arts and murderers and so forth, but it will talk about the entire concept of sexual addiction abnormality that includes orgies and adulteries and homosexuality. So, listen, I would only say that if an activist or if a gay or lesbian ends up listening, I want you to know that we have led gays and lesbians to Christ. They have chosen and walked away. And been filled with God's presence, God's power. I want you to know, because I'm concerned, that gay activist policy that they're seeking to put into laws, that they're seeking to silence the rest of the nation, will steal the opportunity from you of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom that God will give in Christ to break the addiction, to set you free, and say clearly, there is a way out. There is a way of healing. There is a way of cleansing. If you felt the guilt, if you felt the filthiness, if you felt the sorrow, if you felt all of that, if all you do is hide under the wings of homosexuality and listen to the voices, well, here's what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, when it lists the progressive level of addictive sin, which includes homosexuality. It talks about those that practice this will applaud others who do the same. For many people who are homosexuals, staying in, especially young people, peer pressure can move you in that direction, push you over the line, involve you, and that same peer pressure may keep you there. There are gay young people, lesbian young people, that if they sought to get out, those around them that are gay and lesbian would literally verbally, if not even a physical way, harm them. And there is such a fear of rejection among those that live as gay and lesbians. Because of the sin nature and the propensity of the sin nature, which tries to drive every human being into every kind of sin possible. Study the sin nature, Romans chapter 8. Look at the kind of living, active drive that it has within humanity to keep a person from God and hostile to God, to sink a person deeper into the practices of sin, to keep the conscience dirty, the life filled, and it involves guilt. It involves dysfunction. It involves, listen, if you go out to your workplace and you lie to your boss and lie to all the fellow workers all day long, you're going to be in a world of trouble. If you go out and start stealing from everybody, you're going to be in a world of trouble. The truth is, sin, though it exists, doesn't work. It brings conflict in relationship. Conflict personally, conflict in society, and so does sexual addiction, so does homosexuality. Over the years, we've seen in spiritual warfare how the enemy works. Someone not raised in church, someone not raised with any background, someone in a broken home, someone who's been sexually maybe molested or used, they begin to get thoughts in their head. They wonder whether they are prone to go, you know, a young girl prone to go to other girls or guys. Maybe they're afraid of guys. Maybe they've been abused sexually by guys. And so they're opening up to compassionate arms of another girl, and the other girl's lesbian, and she begins to draw her in. Maybe there's a guy that doesn't know what his sexuality really is. He has thoughts in his mind. And just because the thoughts are there, the sin nature and the dark side would say, this is what you are. I'm going to tell you now, the sin nature and the satanic side would love to crystallize this issue and drive people into sexual sin to the point of addiction, to the point that it seems that there is no way out. Jesus Christ has come as the sin bearer of the world. There is no filthy thing, no ugly thing, no horrible thing that you have done that the power, the grace, the work, the might of Jesus Christ at the cross cannot completely destroy and set you free from. We're 25 minutes into the show tonight. I want to say to all those listening, you're more than welcome to write me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. I am going to respond to one of the questions that came up a couple of days ago. Pat wrote in, he has these words, quote, "Hi, Russ, I tried to ask Steve when he was on talking about the last days. So he says, I'm going to ask you, quote, will the Antichrist be homosexual? That's a good question. Because the ramping up of the dark side, as biblically clearly shown, and what we're seeing today, as all the scripture speaks about the rise of the dark side conspiracy and the Luciferic, literally Satan's head beginning to come above the dark icy waters, and we're seeing more and more of everything. Does this mean the Antichrist will be a homosexual? Because there's a reference to the Antichrist not being somebody committed to women. And it's very possible. I can't say that there's any definitive word that says the little horn, the Antichrist, the beast, will be homosexual. And among satanic groups, there are satanic groups that believe you can have practice, homosexual practice, orgies, all kinds of stuff. There are other groups that don't permit that. So let me just say that I can't answer that definitively, because the Antichrist might not incline himself to women. There may be a behind the scenes issue. We'll look into that. As a matter of fact, we're doing a series called The Rise of Homo Satanus. And what I'll do, Pat, is I will research a little more, pray through a little bit more, and I will add another hour to this ongoing 55 hours series. And I'll delve right into that. But no glaring, definitive, biblical clarity on that. But it's possible. And some have suggested it because he is not inclined for women. Let me stop for a few seconds here, because we've kind of just jumped into everything here. We are Friday, the 4th of July, or the 4th of June, rather, I'm sorry. And it is 2010. It is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we need to give you a personal word tonight. We have been given this slot of time by Stephen Quayle. Stephen Quayle had contacted me sometimes back, and we had done a few radio programs. We have done a kind of a marathon session on the abyss and some other things that simply went worldwide. And to this day, even off my site, by the thousands, that series that he and I have done has been listened to all over. Now, I know that most of you have absolutely no idea, and at first I didn't. When Steve Quayle had given me the time here at this time slot, it was just simply, as we talked together, was guided together, it's clear the Spirit of God led. And Steve said very clearly to me, he said, "Russ, I don't know everything about you, but I do know that God told me to give you the slot, to give you the time." And so it's been, I think, I'm not sure, 8 months or so, that we've been on the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night, 6 to 7 hour. There are hundreds of MP3s up, of the archives of it. I've been told thousands upon thousands upon thousands, listen live, and appreciate all those who have written, all those who have said hello. And what I found out was that Steve was paying for the slot, and because I didn't have any idea how it worked. I'm kind of a newcomer to all the broadcast on the web the last couple of years, and we do the preemption broadcast ones. We do the podcast. We do the Sunday night. And, of course, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, there are literally over 1,000 MP3s and probably over 500, 600, 700 radio interviews that are now out all over the web. And we're grateful to be out there. We've noticed that this year we will see at least 1,700,000 downloads of MP3 teachings and messages from all that we've done. We're grateful for that. We have letters coming in from people from many countries. We've looked at our servers, on our side on the Friday night or the Saturday, Sunday preemption broadcast. And we've seen that people are downloading from up to 60 other nations, and we're grateful. We're glad to see that people have gotten saved and come to Christ. We're glad to see people coming out of the New Age, coming out of the dark side, coming out of occultism, coming to Christ. We're glad to have been at conferences. We've led people to Christ. We've baptized people. We've done deliverance many times. And matter of fact, our biggest heartbreak for me is that I'm about 600 and some emails behind. And there are some people that want help. And I'm trying to change our week. See, we've got a massive week. What I do locally here and doing direct ministry to people, let alone the website, the teachings and the broadcasts and everything else. It is clearly the way God led me. And so I am thankful to God that Steve Quayle opened the door and has given this time. Steve called me yesterday, and he has shared with me that there simply is no more funding for this 6 to 7 o'clock hour. That Steve would continue to allow me to be the guest host on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Survive to Thrive. So we talked about what we can do or what I could do, and here's the possibility. Steve has already paid for all of June. I had no idea the amount of money it cost per month, and if anybody's listened to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our broadcasts, podcasts, messages, you know we've never had a commercial. We don't ask for money. We just never have done that appeal. We have thousands and thousands and literally 1,600,000 hits a month, and 100,000 or more downloads a month, and we're loving helping out. And we're very quiet about fundraising, but we only have 12 or 14 or 15 people that give. And we barely make it. So here's what we're going to have to do. In order for me to keep this time slot, my prayers are this, that we're going to put a 30-second, not a commercial, but a 30-second little notation about if you want this program, if you believe in this program, if you want to invest in the work that Russ Dizdar does, what Shatter the Darkness and Preemption Broadcast is all about, if you want to help out, we're going to need you to do that. And the goal is going to be in the next few weeks to assess whether we can raise 6 months' worth of funding ahead of time, or maybe even a year's worth. Overall, we need to ramp up, and again, I have never taken this much time, but I agree with Steve as he shared with me yesterday about putting a 30-second or a 60-second ad literally up to request. On the shatterthedarkness.net site, on the left or the right-hand side, you can scroll down and see where it says support. Many of you may have read the page. Out of, again, hundreds of thousands, and because I think we have not pushed the issue, I want to say that I'm extremely grateful to the 12, 15, 16, 18 people on a monthly basis that do help. And we're grateful. And that's how we are able to do all that we are doing and giving out dozens more of MP3s on a monthly basis, and speak to, and again, the goal, I think you know the goal, evangelism. I think you know the goal, exposing the dark side. I think if you're a listener right now, you understand that this is what this program is all about. And I love this, just to engage the program. We have seen the power of God. We've seen Christ exalted. We've seen people saved. I got a letter from a dear friend out of Canada, out of Illinois, out of Germany, even this day, individuals grateful for hearing. And again, 60 countries of the world that I know about, that's only what I know about, that are downloading, people are saying thank you. And the training courses that we've had, we've been giving away free and giving to specifically to those missionaries and others. So we don't really have ads, we don't have commercials, we don't have products or whatever so much, other than the book we've written, which is, you know, it gives some income. But the bottom line, in order to stay, and I'd love to stay, but I'm completely at peace with surrendering this to the Lord Jesus and saying, God, I'm extremely grateful. Even if this was the last hour I ever spoke on this program, I'm very grateful that I pray that I've honored Christ, that I've loved you, that we've prayed for all of you before every show even begins. So whether or not we stay here on this show and the door stays open or not, clearly Shadow of the Darkness website, the other live shows that we do and the other broadcasts that we do and the other MP3s that we put up, like all those series that we're doing, hundreds of those will continue. And I'm just simply laying it out before the Lord and praying that, and we need to do this across the board and ask the Lord to grant. And Steve was very straightforward, and you know how Steve is. And I'm grateful for the straightforward, you know, talk that he gave to me yesterday, that it's okay to ask. I've always been extremely, not shy, but not wanting anybody to use that as a tool not to listen. So probably starting next week, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you may hear a 30-second ad 20 minutes into the program, another 30-second fundraising ad 40 minutes into the program. So out of 60 minutes, you will probably hear at least 1 minute, maybe two, maybe I'll even go to 2 minutes worth of a simple request. But I want you to know, this is in the hands of the mighty King of Heaven that knows me, that I know, that I love, the Lord Jesus Christ. I absolutely trust what he's going to do. For weeks and weeks, we've been praying, Lord, if there's broader doors, larger doors, if we can go 5 days a week, you know, we'll do this. But it's going to clearly take funding. And overall, for all the work we do, we need to come out and say, yeah, we would love to have at least out of the hundreds of thousands, maybe 100 individuals totally, that support the totality of the websites, the program, the ministry we're doing, Shatter's full work, this live broadcast. So all I'm saying in this 4 or 5 minute session here is to let you know the conversation I had with Steve Quell yesterday, that this has been an incredible stand-up man of God that has, even without me knowing it in the beginning, well, and I didn't have any idea till a little bit later when somebody told me, and then somebody told me the amount, how much he was paying every single month to allow our program at his request. So to Stephen Quayle, we say thanks to God for you, for the doorway, for what 99% of all the folks out there do not know, the level of help you give to many people and what you've done for this program. I believe that hundreds of thousands of people have been ministered to. And tonight, June the 4th, if we are going to continue, Steve has other obligations and fundings and issues that he needs to be able to take care of, and there's just no funds outside any longer to help this Shatter the Darkness program 6 to 7. But if you want it, and if you want me to be here, email me, let me know this. If you're saying, listen, I will be somebody that will pledge monthly, I will be somebody that will help, because I have to assess, I will not go into this and then have to owe a radio station funds and have to appeal later on. Either God supplies the ability and opens the door, or he does not open that door. I have many things to do. I do ask the Lord to continue to grant me this doorway here. And if for any reason the Lord is moving me in a different direction, a different doorway, that's absolutely 100% fine. He is God. Of course, we are not. We are simply servants. And I must take the time tonight to say a grateful thank you to Stephen Quayle, because Steve Quayle has done an enormous amount of alert and alarm to the world. And behind the scenes has given thousands and thousands of dollars to help others. And obviously, he has put up thousands just to put me up here during this hour. So, grateful to God, grateful for the time, and I am prepared and willing and ready to do more. But you pray. I don't have funds to really, you know, I don't have the ability to do things that I'd like to do and help other people. I know what it is not to have $10 to help. All I can say is for the believers in Christ, put up the prayers. You pray with me. If God wants Russ Dizdar to have this slot of time and to continue it and maybe broaden it, then we will trust the Lord to move on thousands of hearts. And we will trust the Lord to move individuals to let us know clearly and definitively. We will look to see the kind of commitment in the next couple of weeks that will tell us that this program can be faithfully, with great integrity, paid for in advance or not. And so you put up the prayers, you consider things, and if you want to write to me to tell me either way, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. So with that being said, we are simply telling you that we will be here next week and the rest of June. We have a series on the Four Horsemen coming up that we're going to do possibly next week. And as we do, there will be an ad within the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, maybe 2 30-second ones or 2 1-minute ones, simply seeking the request in the support of the overall ministry. That's new to us. I think it's, and I agree with Steve, that it is a right and okay thing. And we hope that you will be praying about it. So that's more than 4 or 5 minutes, I think, that I've shared that issue. Can't express enough my gratitude to those at survivetothrive.net, to those who have helped Steve at the conferences in Michigan and in Nashville and St. Louis. Individuals out there listening right now, some of you would come up to me and say, hey, I've been listening to Steve Quayle for years. Now I'm listening to you also. And we've had the development of great new friendships. So we're looking for, and my bottom line prayer will be for 100 supporters. We need to do this across the board for the kind of work we do. People beg me to come to other states to help. People are looking to bring people here locally. I wish we can do so much more. We will continue to pray and look for more and more broader doors and being able to be backed, to be able to be out here and spend 40, 50, and 60 hours a week involved in this work collectively every single week. So listen, tonight, June the 4th, 2010, this is Russ Dizdar. The week topic, homosexuality, the military, and what are you fighting for? The desire tonight is the Spirit of God to guide and lead, to do what God says in the Old Testament, come let us reason together. The reason some people want to stop talk show hosts and preachers and anybody, it's all about laying out the reason. God has a reason. As a matter of fact, for believers in Christ, in the book of 1 Peter, we're told that if anybody, we're to be prepared and ready, and that if anybody asks for a reason, that's where the Greek word apologetic comes from, for the reason of the hope that we have. So this is what Paul did in the book of Acts, guided by the Spirit of God, even to reason with the individuals and point to the gospel. So tonight, as we're reasoning about this issue, though there may be a gay or lesbian activist that would scream, oh, what you're saying is hate speech. Why? Simply because I say it's abnormal, that it is a sin, that it is wrong, and that God loves you and that Jesus died for you and that you can come to find the greatest love you could ever possibly know. I will say many over the years, a gay or lesbian individual, as I'm sharing the gospel out on the streets or down by a bar, or when we purposely took a gospel, evangelistic team and went into a gay bar to witness. Listen, I've been in biker bars, the Outlaws up in Canton years ago, and here in the Akron area for years. We'd go into strong, hardcore biker, you know, heavy metal. I mean, we'd go in to witness and share and lead people to Christ and lead people, you know, into Bible studies and church and baptism and so forth. Well, we also did this, but I will tell you, I'm just confessing, we never found such vulgar responses at times, and threats at other times. So let's be clearly honest. Part of the reason that gay, lesbian activists and homosexuals choose to silence opposition, change psychology, change science, change education, change theology, change society, change everything for their sake. I don't know if they've realized this, but their propensity is to change everything in existence, every discipline, to fit their agenda, to fit their behavior, with the goal on the inside of their conscience that it might justify or take away that gnawing feeling of guilt and abnormality. It's not other human beings that have declared, that have caused that sense of feeling of abnormality or feeling of guilt. That's the conscience. God created us in majesty and in beauty and in great power. But God created Adam, God created Eve, God created procreation. In a fallen world, it's not just homosexuality. I mean, we have and have dealt with sex with demonic, incubus, succubus. We have dealt with sexual ritual abuse in satanic rituals. We have dealt with all levels of homosexuality, bisexuality, swingers, orgies, and issues like that, necrophilia, bestiality, incest, all kinds of things. We've seen the damage, we've seen the hurt, we've seen the pain, we've seen the destruction, we've seen the suicidal tendencies, we've seen in some cases where the sin is so deep, so broad, so wide, demonic possession. We've also seen the power and authority and the love of Jesus Christ draw hundreds of people out of every kind of conceivable background you can think of. My prayer tonight, like Saul of Tarsus for believers, you know how opposed he was to the gospel, how addicted he was to a false, man-made, self-glorifying religion. How he opposed the church and opposed the gospel and came after the body of Christ. How he did things to enact laws, to get laws written to imprison anybody who would speak in the name of Christ. Every believer must understand and hear, if you're listening to the political threats, if you're looking at the battlefield of our culture right now, then please understand Saul of Tarsus. As he went through legal possible means, as he tried in all kinds of ways to literally silence the gospel and silence the body of Christ, here's the good news. It's without question believers were praying. It's without question God was operative by the Spirit of God in calling to repentance and summoning every human being to Christ. It is clear that Jesus Christ engaged Saul of Tarsus in such a way that it brought him to his knees. It brought him to his knees. And to salvation. And I want you to know that anyone, anywhere, everywhere, By the way, if you're getting the archives right now, it looks like we just went offline. We don't know why, and we've been kind of cut off. I don't know if it's a storm here we've been having, but the lines have gone down. I don't know if I'm live right now, but let me continue here, even though we have about 9 minutes left of this program. Something has gone wrong with... I'm trying to find out where and why to see what occurred to us, and we're going to try to be back online here in a few seconds. So let me continue to say, right in the context of sharing that Jesus came in and transformed the life of Saul of Tarsus, and every single mom and dad, every single person out there praying for family members and for this nation, should realize that God has power to bring the convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that Jesus is out to save, not condemn, that God's will is that no one perish. So you and I must understand, God wants people saved. Listen, even when the Antichrist comes and globalism kicks in, God's still going to save people. Please understand, the great mission of God Almighty is to bring his love, grace, power, might, and eternal gift of life through Jesus Christ to everyone. And so we're going to tell you tonight that this is what we are all about also. And I am looking right now to hear, here we go, one of the computers that had completely gone out. Don't know why we've gone offline here. Hey, I'm sorry to bother you. It looks like some kind of electricity went. This is Russ, and it looks like the electricity.
I can hear you. It's very low.
Okay, let me call. Something went wrong here. I'll call right back.
Hello?
Well, you're hearing us trying to get back online here to the right computer side of us, whatever else. We don't know if some kind of glitch went up with, do this through Skype, and it looks like we are kicked off. Somehow things went down. We are trying to call back. They could not hear us at the radio station. So if you get in the archives, you're getting the last few minutes of the program. If you were somebody listening live, then you'll hear me explain that somehow in the context of tonight and sharing, because the goal has been that anyone out there in Christ that knows God's love, you got to know that you got to become powerful in prayer, be involved in evangelism, help reach the world for Christ, and do all that you can. So become as strong as you can. Become as powerful in prayer as you can become. Keep looking at the book of Acts to see this incredible, I think it's an incredible, absolutely incredible field manual for the last days for believers. The book of Acts. It'll show you what God can, does, what he has done. And since Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So regardless of the background, whatever, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many sins, how much, what addictions, what persuasions, Jesus Christ is the sin bearer of the world. And he's come for you. He's come to reach you. He's come to speak to you. He's come to save you. And if you're listening right now, and again, by the providence of God, even with a little bit of spiritual battle tonight in trying to, you know, shut this program down, we want you to know, whoever you are, the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 7, that Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being. He's referring to, read it in John Gospel 7, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. Listen, tonight we were not able to get back onto the live programming, and we lost what it looks like is about 10 minutes. So we hope that you're listening to the archives, and we want to say that we will be back with you Monday night, June the 7th. God bless you and good night.